Well, everybody, we're going to have an appreciation of Alaska salmon today. Alaska salmon. Look what we got right here. Look at all that's going on here. There's a whole lot going on about salmon. And I think sometimes we need to maybe stop, have a little party, a little appreciation, maybe some poetry, conversation, some politics. We try to protect salmon. Show our respect so that they can continue on with what they know and so taken for granted. You guys are okay?
That's some real new age poetry.
Yeah. I forgot the title of that one, so it's just as well. Anyway, I'm Steve Schoonmaker. I was invited to be part of this celebration, so I'm glad to. I write Fisher poetry. It's what I call Fisher poetry nowadays. It's kind of like cowboy poetry in that my profession as a fisherman is mostly what the writing's about, you know, the lifestyle, the environment, the fish. And we just had a really wonderful celebration of Salmon Fest, some of you might have gone to. And all week long, people are learning, not just to have fun, but to ride and to celebrate, you know, salmon. So anyway, I just started with one of my poems. In the summertime, I fished with a cordova from a drift generator, and up in time, it's out in the Gulf. And the couple of pulls in through the delta and all this mud that goes out into the ocean, that more soot and mud pulls into the Pacific from the Copper River than any other single source. And if you get out there in the ocean, you can see where the brown mud comes out directly against the blue water. And it's a distinct line. It's powerful looking. I mean, it looks like you're going to drive into it, you know. But it's something. It's just so brown against the blue. And it wanders out in big plumes from the outlets of the streams. And so what it really means to is a lot of fresh water pouring into the salt water. When the salmon come in, they're trying to osmoregulate. They're trying to figure their bit out, you know, the salt water, the fresh water. And so they kind of mix in that zone right there a little bit. They dance all in those what we call rips. And so oftentimes that's a good place to put your net along these areas where the fish are coming in. But the water's really just turbulent. You know, it'll bunch your gear up. It's just all like a tidal rips. And if you get in the air and you fly over the Copper River, you can see how sometimes it comes out and it's brown and then it's kind of light green and then it's kind of a yellowish. Then it goes out to the blue and it all fades out. When the tide finally comes in, it all gets blue again. It's pretty powerful. And the Copper River King is pretty well known. It's early on king, real popular on the market. This year we're kind of concerned about the king, but they were thankfully some kings around. Here's why I wrote this poem about kings. It's called Corn. Listen to the winds of the mountains, to the sound of the sea, to the blue ocean's breath, to the clouds and the breeze. Listen to the colors of the sky, to its wet, to its dry, to its gold, swimming by. Listen, try, to the colors of the sea, to that color change, plea. I may be nuts, but with my guts, oh, I'm listening to the rips running free. I'm listening to see what my nuts should be, straining the sea for a dollar. Guild at the collar, wild as a squall, or something much smaller, still wild than me. Yeah, that's what I see. Brown against blue, Pacific mid slew, Copper River runs through, mountains wide on the scenic side, splitting the view, calling through, through the moon is pink, through the ground's walls bleak, breaking to surf, thumping, limping, in from the blue. Green spotted things, grassland kings, come to renew, the shorebirds sing too, and the instincts bring you, saying that you kill those that met off the wheel. Feel the blues off the flats, your tongue pressure slack, your plover's neck. Listen to the cork as they clack, your back, fishing. Listen, warm, fisherman firm, like a king. Limit was set long in the net, manned through a jet's wing drone. Slapping tails to vapor tails. So near home. Curled for the bottle of grill and a fowl, corn. So juicy with fat. Stop where you're at. Listening. Yeah, listening for which way to roam. Crow. Pecan salmon. Does it sound kind of fuzzy a little bit? Is it my breathing? Is that better?
Is it loud enough still?
Is it loud enough? How about that? Does that sound better? Is it okay?
Let's try it.
I'll try it again here. Seems like when a person catches a fish, maybe they're in the river, they catch a fish, they got a salmon in their hands, like the salmon came from the river. Or the salmon came from the bay, or the salmon came from the ocean. Seems fairly obvious. But what isn't obvious to people is that so much of the salmon comes from the uplands, from the habitat, from all the stream system, and all the drainages that it takes to make these kind of runs, the lakes. And so it's easy to take it for granted that all this upcountry can be developed, or use it with however they might choose to. And we regard the salmon as an ocean fish, a magibus that comes in from the ocean. But we can't really have producing salmon runs without all this clean upcountry water. And when the economic struggles and the plans of growth, when we use metals, we have smartphones, and we need all this ingredients for our society, which requires sometimes mining, like the pearl mine. So, in regards to that, I think I can only speak for myself, but I think most people aren't necessarily against mining as they are against a mine like this, in a situation like this, in the Bristol Bay Headwaters, where it's watershed, it's habitat, it's necessary. We've been given so much. It's all we have to do is take care of it. None of our technology could ever make a drainage or one single salmon stream, So, anyway, that's my little political speech. I think we need to, as much as possible, stand together and try to realize what it takes to keep salmon, not just bag limits and stuff like that, but upcountry and us to be smart and be able to share, manage our salmon in this common property type of resource. It's a commons. So here's a poem that I wrote a few years ago that it speaks to that. And it's also the title's called Watercourse Way, and it's a Zen phrase somewhat, the watercourse way, the path of least resistance, the natural flow of things, the natural way. It also applies to watercourse ways. From where I am in this world, there's a small harbor town where the pulse of vitality is the ocean and the sand and the streams of the uplands. Yeah, and the constants of the rain. And fishing fleet muscle with the two growing pains, maintaining those harvests that the loads have to claim, where the salmon know not but imaginous ways. Ancient as rains that are gathered away with the souls of the flows and the watercourse ways. The more I am in this world, I face a world place. A sea in the land of wild beauties embraced, entangled in conflicts and surviving resolves, extending life forward as the planet revolves with the cogs and the wheels of technology's race, all pushing the boundaries of wide open space in the glare of our headlights at a speed limit's pace. Down the lines and the curves and the edge of my face. Down the foam and the curves and the waves of my wakes. Down those watercourse ways that mirror no mistakes. On the clouds, winds, and trickles to the rivers and the lakes. And I flow and let go of its time and its place. From where I am in this world, in the corner, still wild. Oh, caught with such forces, with a heart like a child. The spirit with conditions that were shining at the bay, riding high in such beauty, but in conflict each day. where the being is sulky, and it's stressful, and it's loud, and the tension is brutal. And it's grateful, and it's proud, and each of us caught in the pull of our pain and our wind through our hands, like the rain and the spray. Season by season, come what may, come what may. Season by season, that water course way. The more I am in this world, getting more than my needs, but the catch of my net is what others will eat. I have so many others that know not of the sea, of imaginous ways, or wild ocean's needs, where the habitat losses may continue to move in directions away from sustainable steam. The more I am in this world as I hold in my grip all the lines and the nets and the gills of the fish, I claim as a living, as I claim as my own, from where I am in this world, simply flesh, blood, and bone. The more I am in this world, this one simple man, with a boat and a net, by a sea and a land, a sea so achieving, by a land so alive, a future uncertain, by a past known to thrive, still easily claimed with imaginative ways, ancient as lands down a water course ways. The more I am in this world, down the lows, up the highs, where the Gulf of Alaska has rewarded our trials, with the flesh of our fisheries in which we rely, flesh and meat, and instinctual is all humankind. However domestic our perceptions align, disguised or unconscious of what keeps us alive. Alive is not separate with the same as the clay. It's all held in the flows of the lines as they lay at the confluence of beauty and conflict each day. We're the same or may not, but imaginative ways, ancient as lands, that are gathered away with the souls of the flows that the sea will regain, so alive by the sky and the land we play in that sparkling shine, down the water course ways. To the habitat, to salmon lovers. This is my friend Clark Whitney Jr. Clark's got some poetry as well to share, and high respect for salmon. Captain Clark.
Thank you, Steve. So, Steve fishes in Prince William Sound, and I got my start fishing in Bristol Bay a long time ago, quite a while ago, and so it's been great, the time I've spent commercial fishing and subsistence fishing, and I really appreciate the salmon, and earlier Steve was saying that most of us that fish for salmon and subsist on salmon in Alaska really love the salmon, and we eat it. So how do you reconcile the fact that you love something and then you eat it? It almost sounds cannibalistic.
Omega 3.
Yeah. So I came up with this poem. I just wrote this one, so I have my words here in case I forget. And this is called The Fate of the Salmon. The fate of the salmon is to be eaten. This appears to be nature's plan, and they're eaten by hundreds of creatures, including salmon sharks, brown bears, and man. I've harvested salmon commercially in the ocean and fished for subsistence in rivers and streams from the ocean to the mountains. Those mighty fish swim up the rivers to enrich so many dreams. I'm proud to say I feed my children salmon, the ones I've caught, prepared, and served them with love. I cherish, respect, and feel gratitude for this gift, like manna from heaven above. Salmon are consumed by microorganisms when they arrive in the places where they spawn and die, and their decomposed bodies give food to streamside plants, nitrogen and phosphorus from deep ocean to sky. The herbivores benefit from the salmon. When on plants by the shore they do feed, they get elements from the middle of the ocean brought by the salmon to satisfy those needs. Salmon helped put me through college. When I worked as a deckhand on my father's boat, now many years later, I work as a teacher in Soldotna. I teach English and drama, and I coach. So let's give three cheers to the salmon. They give sustenance, both direct and indirectly. Let's do all that we can to promote nature's plan. Let's respect and protect them correctly. Yeah, so, salmon, I mean, it's hard to find a better food, a better source of protein that's better for you, and the river's full of them, and streams everywhere. I've been all over this state, and there are salmon in so many streams. It's amazing to believe that here's a fish that that can go all the way out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, then hundreds or even 1,000 miles up a stream to spawn. It's just, it's miraculous. So when you think about salmon, it makes you ask those questions that can't be answered sometimes, like why? What is dark matter? Who knows? What is the meaning of life? I don't know, I haven't figured it out, but I think the secret may be in something that salmon do. And this is a song I wrote, it's kind of whimsical. It's called Jumpers, and it goes like this. Jumpers, jumpers, we don't know why you jump. Jumpers, jumpers, dogs, silvers, reds, and humps. Do you jump because you're happy? Do you jump so you can see what humans they are doing on the surface of the sea? One night I was out camping right on the ocean shore. It was a spot that I knew well, I'd been right there before. At dawn I was awakened by a loud repeated crash. I had to find the reason to the water I did dash. Then I saw my first jumper jumping happily, jumping out of the water, jumping repeatedly. I was so fascinated because it seemed to me salmon seem to enjoy themselves just jumping wild and free. Jumpers, jumpers, we don't know why you jump. Jumpers, jumpers, dogs, silvers, reds, and humps. Do you jump because you're happy? Do you jump so you can see what humans they are doing on the surface of the sea? I asked the ichthyologist, why is it that they jump? His answer was perplexing, I'd managed him to stump. He mumbled about lampreys or orientation, something semi-incoherent about position of the sun. So if you know the reason for this jumping in the sea, please tell us all quite quickly so we will all be filled with wondrous info that will help to relieve strife. 'Tis then we will discover the meaning of our life. Jumpers, jumpers, we don't know why you jump. Jumpers, jumpers, dogs, silvers, reds, and humps. Do you jump because you're happy? Do you jump so you can see what those humans they are doing on the surface of the sea? You know, that's actually the first time I've ever performed that song, I think, maybe. And so we're just going to kind of take turns. So maybe I'll do one more and then you can come up, Steve.
Sure.
Okay.
Discuss your happy part.
What's that? Oh, yeah, Steve, we had this discussion the other day and nobody really knows. Now, Steve claims that it's because they're happy, and I think he's probably right. But nobody really knows. Not even the great ichthyologists know. Okay, so it's that time of year. Back at my house right now, I'm smoking salmon. And it's a little too early to be, it's better to wait. Usually when I go to smoke salmon, I put it in the freezer and I take it out. The best time to smoke salmon is when the temperature hovers in the 30s and 40s and it's cool at night and it's not too wet. But anyway, I'm pushing it a little bit because I love smoked salmon. And the name of this song is The Smell of Smoking Salmon. It goes like this. I met a man walking, something was in his hand. I asked him, what you got there? He answered, a salmon. I said, what will you do with it? He replied, what do you think? I admitted I did not know, and he answered with a wink. I'm gonna take it home and clean it, cut in strips and put in brine, hang it high where wind can reach it, and let it dry so very fine. Then when we eat it in the winter, the season of ice and snow, we will smell and taste that alder smoke, and our minds will surely go back to when leaves were brown and golden and were falling from the trees. Back when the smell of smoking salmon was floating on the breeze. When salmon oil reaches the bloodstream, feel a warm and healthy glow. Omega-3 fatty acids will ensure a steady flow. So let's protect all of our salmon streams. Let's do it now, we must not wait. So we can always have smoked salmon right on our dinner plate. I met a man a-walking. Thank you. Steve's turn. Steve and I are old friends. We actually graduated from Kenai Central High School together in the year 2000. Oh wait, no, I was a little before that.
Why do I feel so good? 2000, huh? Here comes a poem. This one I wrote for the Borough Assembly, and which I recited to them some time ago. Anyway, I'll do it for you. There was a Nazareth Stream Ordinance. Do you guys remember that one? What of human investments? What do they mean? And what are the gifts that come in with the streams? And our human economies, what do they mean? To biology's truths at the banks of the streams. That returns nursery and its link to the sea, where if just left alone, continuous could be. But if gifts are for taking, for the eagles in the trees, for the gulls on the sandbars, for the stakeholders' needs, with our minds about budget that can live beyond means, if giving's what gives and what gives is the streams. Unless giving is giving by just letting be, by humans growing conscious, by take scarcity, our human economies, what do they mean concerning these matters at the banks of the streams? Where deposits are made and then left to grow for the gifts of the salmon and a life they can know. Hiss this gift of themselves, this biology's truth. Let's give salmon deposits, yes, given from you, yes, and given from me, conscious of truth. For continues to be, no more blaming to do. For continues to be, it's now or past due. Deposit. This one I wrote for the world a few years ago, and I keep doing it because, it's called Illusions of Separateness. Illusions of Separateness split the world around me, disguising as separate as dependency. Oh, disguised as relation and connectivity. So disguised in the obvious simplistics of need. Disguised in the fleshes and the hearts of the sea, like the fisherman's heart. Yeah, like other such breeds. At the heart of predation is a heart naturally. Strong from the beats of its activities and the fitness of passions occasionally pleased. Strong from connections that are felt when I ease past that sense of illusion that it's all separately. Those illusions of separateness that we exist on our own, contained within our bodies, outside all we've known, divided of nature, to be divided alone at the top of some food chain that we'll conquer and own. It's an illusion of separateness. Like my boat in the sea. Yeah, like the sea cools my engine while my sweat's cooling me. My sweat dries to salt, like the salt of the sea, evolved in my species like salmon to streams. Evolved into patterns like feathers to breeze. It's an illusion of separateness that those salmon aren't us, or the cod, or the halibut, or the boom, or the bust, or the moss-covered old growth, or the bait that we cut, or the ice of the Arctic, or the roads that we rut. Illusions of separateness like the sky and the bay, like the crabs on the seafloor, like the night and the day, so encased by enclosures of electrified light, where worlds brought inside by a space satellite. Illusions of separateness. Wild salmon and me. Yeah, I try to catch them, and they try to stay free. The forces we share, that's our life energy, so woven together as allowed by the sea. Cold and uncaring, but together we'll be, but of strands in the web of its complexity. It's an illusion of separateness, Yeah, like my net in the sea. Yeah, like being a gill netter in brutality. So laying deception to the forces that be, directly connecting the salmon and man, this blood on his deck with this cash in his hand. Illusions of separateness, of this life and this death. Yeah, of this eater and eaten and connective digest, each purely energy sustained in life's quest, sustained by connection and not separateness. Oh yeah, illusions of separateness under clear plastic wrap, decreaturized portions circling drain as our crap, flushed from the rooms of our privacy's lies as the fans of the restroom share the truth with the skies. Illusions of separateness. In our cars, in our boats, in our planes, in our shoes are 10 toes, in our hats larger brains so exposed to pollutants that our bloodstreams contain, in climatic responses to temperatures gain, yet we're kind of like junkies, too unconscious to change. Illusions of separateness, they claim religions and borders through the races of peoples and hierarchies' orders. Illusions of separateness through the red and the blue, through the us and the them, through the me and the you. Illusions of separateness, yeah, like that first domino and the last to go down in reactions flow, connected, connected, one to the next, all affects all, with no separateness. Well, our illusions of separateness, they're dividing our time, our future expectations with a clear frame of mind, devoid of illusions, consciously whole, not divided in psyche under illusions control, because illusions of separateness, they'll run down to the sea, through the streets, to the rivers, by the gutters, retrieved, disguised in the sewer is connectivity, disguised in the obvious simplistics of need, disguised in the fleshes and the hearts of the sea, like this fisherman's heart, like other such breeds. At the heart of predation is a heart naturally strong from the beats of its activities and the fitness of passions occasionally pleased, strong from connections that are felt when I ease past that sense of illusion that it's all separately. Because, people, we are the ocean, we are the sky, we are those salmon as the sun's going by. Ours is to live as ours is to die, because we are the same as it all without I. It's all connected. It's not separate at all. It's a lot of words. I see Clark coming with one. He looks like he's got on his face something in mind here. Let's hear it, Clark.
Okay, I think I do. So when I started fishing in Bristol Bay, and actually I started in the summer of 79. And at that time in Bristol Bay, we fished in the Naknek Kwejek district, and there were still a lot of the old wood boats around. There were a few of the old, they called them conversions. They had been double-ended sailing boats. And then when they went to power after 1951, some guys put motors in those old sailboats and used them. But anyway, I remember my first year there, I didn't know what I was doing, and I was young, and it was really scary. And I remember thinking, first of all, that this commercial fishing thing is really uncivilized. You don't get any showers, and you don't get to eat when you want to, and there's no TV, and I thought it was pretty rough. And then when I heard the stories about guys fishing in those same waters in sailboats, and if there was no wind, they had 14-foot long oars to move their boats, and I started thinking, whoa, now these guys must have been some gnarly dudes, because it's tough enough when you're over there and you have power. I can't imagine what it must have been like to fish in sailboats. A lot quieter, for sure. So this is about, this one's called The Ones Who Fish the Sailboats. Let me tell you all the story of the ones who fish the sailboats. They fished them long ago, way up north in Bristol Bay. All those boats were made of wood with oars and sails for locomotion. Started early Monday morning, and they fished through Saturday. There were Swedes and Finns, Norwegians, Native Alaskans, and Italians. Well, some lived locally, and some came from far away. And the ones from down below worked as sailors and longshoremen on tall ships that left Seattle and San Francisco Bay. Well, they fished in double enders built in Washington and Oregon, poured Orford cedar planks on steam-bent oaken frames. They had a single sail with a sprit boom and a mainmast, with a hardwood keel and centerboard and numbers for their names. They were issued 14-foot oars and 150 fathoms. Those nets were made of linen with cedar for the floats. They pulled the nets by hand while their oilskins chafed their arms. Life wasn't very easy for the ones who fished those boats. And when the season's catch was over, back on shore they went to work to fill those ships with kegs or cans of salmon they had caught. They sailed back on those same ships, or they went to put up home pack. And right there at the company store, winter grub the locals bought. So now I've told you all a story of the ones who fished the sailboats. They fished them long ago, way up north in Bristol Bay. Oh, those boats were made of wood, the ones who fished them made of iron. Started early Monday morning, and they fished through Saturday. Ah, they started Monday morning, fished straight through all Saturday. Yeah, you can still see some of the old sailboats around here and there, and some have been restored. And if you ever get a chance, you can just Google Bristol Bay sailboat fishermen, and there are some movies of the old sailboats and the people that fished them, and just pretty amazing, and those guys must have been tough. The next one I wanted I have another song, and this one is, the first year that we fished there, we fished for what fishermen call a floater. And a floater, we didn't have any shore facility, and so we were just kind of out there, and we could get groceries and fuel from our tenders, the boats offshore, but we didn't really have a shore facility. And then, I'd been fishing over there for 4 years. By this time, I'd bought my own boat, and I used to store my boat in king salmon, and I went back one summer to get the boat ready, and I went to start the engine, and it wouldn't turn over, so I charged the battery, and it still wouldn't turn over, even with a fully charged battery. Everyone's a critic, and so I finally pulled one of the plugs, and I noticed that the bottom of the plug was rusty. And long story short, the engine somehow had gotten water in it, and it was seized up solid. Well, luckily, at that time we started fishing for a cannery. It was what had been the Alaska Packers Association Double End Cannery on the south shore of the Naknek River. Now, this cannery was built originally in 1899. And, you talk about history and atmosphere. Well, I just love going there every year, because just walking through those bunkhouses and they had the old style cannery with the big retorts, boilers, and it was incredible. And this whole story is about, have you ever had a cup of a beverage in your hand and you fell, and then when you got back up, you didn't spill the beverage? You know what I'm talking about? This is a story about that, okay? And it's about a cup of coffee. Now, as a lad of 25 in the spring of 83, I flew into King Salmon, my old boat, for to see. I didn't know the engine was seized up good and tight. Had to get her down to Double End, where the chief could make her right. Down the river my dad towed us, came too close to the rocks. but a 20-footer pushed us up to the outside of the dock. On the deck and in the warehouse where they used to store cans came the boatwrights and mechanics. I'd say it was all hands all the way. Bristol Bay, that's where I'll stay. In the summertime, fishing for the salmon. Now, just outside that warehouse, mug up three times a day. You know it was more pleasant when young ladies came our way. One day I was back on my boat when those pretty girls walked in. Decided to go join them. Forgot the open center bin. Fell face first in some brailers stored in that open hold. In my right hand, my coffee cup had not yet gotten cold. It didn't hurt my body, cut sore my dignity. But when I stood, that paper cup retained integrity. All the way, Bristol Bay, that's where I'll stay. In the summertime, fishing for the salmon. My friends stood and applauded that feat as they stood by. But what vexed me most were the looks I saw in those young ladies' eyes. Ones of concern and laughter as my face burned bright red. I swore that in the future I'd watch where I did tread. I'll tell you now, I broke that vow more than a couple of times. A foolish man I'll always be. That's why I write these rhymes. All the way, Bristol Bay, that's where I'll stay. In the summertime, fishing for the salmon. Yep. I think it's Steve's turn again. And while he's coming up, I'll show you a trick I learned teaching middle school.
Don't do that. Just turn the mic off.
I'll just set it right here. I use this to entertain middle school students.
I can't do it for very long.
I don't know if I can follow that.
You're up.
If you guys haven't, before you leave, come check this table out. There's some really important information which I could go on about, but you can see for yourself. I've signed a lot of things to legislators, signed lots of them. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I did that already. Well, we got to keep doing it. And so I have an opportunity once again to sign. And this is about Stanford Salmon, the HB 199. I'm not sure when is it coming up. The next session. So we gotta bend some ears on this protecting salmon thing, and this is an opportunity to do so. And it's pretty easy to do. I just did one myself. It looks like I got it right. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of people here, but every little bit counts. And I saw at Salmon Fest, I can't remember what her name was, but she was from the village. She went all over the place with a clipboard, and she got so many signatures, and those people really were able to expose the information to a lot of people. And I think those kind of things are really helpful, you know what I mean? Little bits at a time. So they know that we're out there and we're concerned about this, and that they better have our ear, you know what I mean? So I guess I had enough on that. I'll come up with a poem here for you to see. I got a hand to Clark for singing and all. Let's see what I can do. This is not really a shanty. This is one of my things. It's the same subject matter. It's the same thing. It's called Gift. If storms precipitation should moisturize the scene, if there is a mountainside, well, then there is a stream. If there is a runoff, well, then there is the sea. So there lives what salmon gives so many lives to please. As sun is to horizon sky, as rain is to the sea, Yeah, and mountains are to glaciers gray as glaciers are to streams, as ocean and its weather react to every day. For eons upon eons now those salmon fed the way. As sunlight is to the glowing moon reflecting back, I'd say, if it wasn't for the salmon man, I'd never made it pay. I caught and killed and fished some more, accepting in their way deceptions, gifts, and tangled nets I laid across their bays. Those schools of fish like summer leaves returning to the trees, their actions smooth as aqua blue, just as gentle as the breeze. I caught and killed and fished some more, applying to my needs. I caught and killed to stock the store so fishermen could be. As schools react in single flight, predation looks for sign. Sun reflects from flashing sides, their flesh records the time. I saw my share of salmon fight to stay alive, to die. With the eagles, seals, and the bears are fate in the noisy seagull's eye. The splash of wet and salmon backs exposing to the sky. Caught and killed and fished some more, so many lives to please. As the river banks of carcass stench give nitrogens from seas. As the glaciers call and sing their songs, man, they'll bring it to the trees. By the boats and the bears and the eagles' beaks, just as gentle as the breeze. Caught and killed and fished some more, returning like those leaves. Caught and killed and fished some more, so many lives to please. So there lives what salmon gives, so many lives to please. I love salmon. You already heard me say that. I don't want to say it again. Give me a S.
S.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an L.
L.
Give me an M.
M.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an N.
N.
What's it spell?
Salmon.
What's it spell?
Salmon.
What's it spell?
Salmon.
Salmon. Oh, thanks again. S-A-L-M-O-N, thanks again. The sea and the sky knows who really depends on them knowing the journeys of the land and the sea, knowing the journeys of the inside of me, my nutritional makeup. You might agree, might start as a salmon and end up as Steve. Thanks again. Should I keep going or are we getting...
Yeah.
About to do one more and then let Clark have the floor? This one I wrote some time ago, and like all of us, we have friends that die, and we end up going to memorials, and someone's asked to speak, you know. And so I this poem I'd written some time ago, I thought, what could I do? And so my friend Paul died up in Anchorage. I went and I shared this poem for the memorial. It seemed to fit. People really liked it. And then, unfortunately, and recently, a real close friend of mine, Doug Heimbach, died this spring unexpectedly. Doug was a fisherman out there where I fish, and he liked my poems. Doug and I were close friends. And we had a couple of memorials for Doug, one here in Kenai and one over Cordova. And so I shared the same poem again. And it's not necessarily a memorial poem, but you'll see what I mean. It's called Reflecting the Sun. The poem is actually written about being in the moment. You know, when you're making art or making love or stocking game or things like that, you're in the moment. Those are the kind of points in your life when you think back of all the stuff, there's those moments that stand out. And it's called Reflecting the Sun. When the times are the moment and the reds are on the run and the night's but a comment where the work's getting done. And the scales on the deck sing the song so resung. Moon rises, the tide lines, reflecting the sun. When the catch is the drive and the sets are the fuel, all the parts in each boat connect each pool. When the times are the moment, like your boat props a tool, like the fish you don't catch can turn into your school. If those zeros on checks reflect work getting done, salmon hang from a gill net, reflecting in the sun. In the blur of a slaughter, through the change of the tides, through the wandering thoughts as the grinding resides, oh, a warm woman somewhere with a bed that's real nice. In the shine of her hair with the roll of her dice, in the soft of her neck with some loving begun, by the glint of an earring, reflecting the sun. When the times of the moment and the daydreams succumb to the clink of that snap when the set is all done, It's reality now, man. Better set back or run, because nobody knows till the fat lady sung. Better outguess yourself, don't a fool or have fun. Because life's like that day breeze, reflecting in the sun. Because life's like the sun when it's all said and done, or the end of a set or a red salmon run, whether effort and catch ever catch up to some. Or the predators lack to relinquish the hunt with the smell of the diesel and the damp of the bunk. When the sea and the sky know the planks of the sunk and all those derelicts left with their memories done, the flukes of their props stopped, reflecting the sun. Like a stage of great plays that our bodies become, reflecting a lifetime of work getting done. All the loves and the longs like the arc of the sun. All the boats and the nets and the harbor top done, like the scales on the deck sing the song so resung. And the times of the moment, but then it's left to the young to keep working those boat decks reflected in the sun. Because the waters, they don't know what's an end from begun, or the highs from the lows, from the reds on the run, or a life from a death from some work getting done. It's just returning like those rivers, and it's reflecting in the sun. To life, the good life, which you all share. Thank you. More from Captain Clark.
Thank you, Steve. So, I see people out here that have come and watched Steve and I perform before, and so here's a question. Steve doesn't get to answer this. Who's missing today? Carrie, who's missing?
Meezy.
Meezy, yes. Meezy Hermanson, who's a good friend of Steve's and mine. She's commercial fishing today. Imagine that. How could she choose to catch fish instead of be here talking to you guys? I'm just kidding. Of course, good for her. That's what we're all about. And she told me, she got like 700 pounds on her first set, so that's really good for this time of year. I think cook and let fishermen are getting like $1.50 a pound, so that can, that last little bit that you catch late in the season can really make or break your whole season sometimes. And so today's pretty informal. I'm gonna do one more here, maybe a couple, and then. If anybody else would like to get up and sing a song or tell a poem or tell a story, that would be totally okay today. So, you can kind of think about that. If anybody wanted to, you could. You're probably getting tired of listening to Steve and Clark. All right, that guy needs a muffler. And this next one is, it's called Corky the Creek Robin Corker. And so, to cork somebody, so when you set your net, you can see your net in the water. Once it gets in the water, well, all you can see are the corks in the water. And when you cork somebody, basically what you do, and many of you probably know about this term, but you set your net in front of somebody else's net, and your net catches all the fish. So basically you steal all the fish from the other person, and it's called corking them. And it's a great word. I mean, it's a great metaphor for a lot of things in life, corking. Like when that guy cuts you off in traffic, you can say, "He corked me off," and it almost sounds a little obscene, so it's more fun too. So this one's about a fictional character called Corky, and Corky is a guy that most commercial fishermen are really nice people, but just like in any occupation, anywhere in the world, there's a few bad apples, and Corky is definitely a bad apple. And this is a song about Corky. Who's that corking off my set? Who's that corking off my set? Who's trying to steal what I would get? Said the fair lady Gilnetter. I'm Corky for Norker from out of Pernorker. I'm Corky the Creek Robin Corker. I'll cork off your set, then I'll steal what you'd get. I'm Corky the Creek Robin Corker. If you try to cork my set, try to steal what I would get, I'll introduce you to my machete, said the fair lady Gilnetter. Well, show me your knife and I'll risk me life on Corky the Creek Robin Corker. I'll cork off your set, then I'll steal what you'd get, said Corky the Creek Robin Corker. Well, you say your name is Cork, and you smell just like pork. But I suggest you fly, or I'll make your voice high, said the fair lady Gilnetter. So Corky picked up and ran, threw a rooster off his fan, cause he was a cowardly porker. When the sun flashed off his blade, he saw the mistake he'd made. Old Corky the Creek Robin Corker. Yep. Yep, that darn Corky, nobody likes him. I've actually written a little series of Corky songs, and I don't think they'll be made into children's books, though. So, does anybody want to come up and share a story or a poem or a song? I mean, if you've ever wanted to do this, now's your chance. I mean, you couldn't find a better audience or... Nope, nobody's running up. Okay, I always tell my students, hey, stop all raising your hands at the same time. It's hard to choose one. All right. Yeah, I think if I do one more and then Steve does one more, then I would call it a wonderfully successful evening. And, you know, sometimes you can have a really big crowd and they don't even pay attention. So this is a great crowd because you guys are paying attention. You're actually listening to the words, and that is just wonderful. Thank you so much, those of you who came and to celebrate Wild Salmon on the second annual Alaska Wild Salmon Day. Yay! Woo! Oh, there's chowder there that was made by Willow King, and she's an incredible cook, and it is really good. So if you haven't had any chowder yet, you should. And if you already had one bowl, you should have another one. Right? All right. Okay, this next song. In the one song that I sang, The Fate of the Salmon, I talked about how salmon helped to put me through college. I was lucky enough during my college years to be able to come back to Alaska every summer and fish for salmon. And this was in the 80s, the mid to late 80s, when the price was really high. So as a college student, I didn't have to live in a dorm on campus. I made enough money fishing commercially in the summer so I could have a house off campus, which was nice. And then instead of having a job, I worked as a ski instructor, which isn't really a job, it's just a way to get a season pass so I could ski. And so, and this is a song about one of the summers that I spent fishing on my father's boat while I was going to college. And so, our fisher poetry is, Steve mentioned earlier, it's kind of like an offshoot of cowboy poetry. And people who have never fished are people who have never tended a herd of cows in a thunder and lightning storm in the middle of the night, sometimes may think that being a cowboy or being a fisherman is romantic. Well, I don't know if being cold and wet and hungry and tired and hanging out on a little boat with hairy, smelly guys is very romantic. That never seemed romantic to me. What is romantic are some of the sunrises. Anyone who's ever lived on the water, you know, you see some of the most beautiful things when you're on the water. And but when I was in college, my idea of romance was not really hugging a salmon, but it was hugging a cannery girl, because there were cannery girls back at the cannery, and so I thought they were a lot better looking than a salmon. And anyway, this is a story about the cannery girls. Nighttime on the Naknek River. Fishing period is over. Huge opener, boats were plugged. Delivered the fish, cleaned the boat and tied up to the dock. Cannery is running two lines 24/7 to process all the fish. Steam whistle sounds, calling workers to the 10 p.m. mug up. Climb the ladder to get a cup of coffee and a sandwich. Steam from the retorts fills the underside of the dock. Odors of fish and sea water travel over the edge to the deck. rungs barely visible, immersed in the vapor. Clambering over the rail, vague shapes appear. Black boots, yellow rain gear, multicolored bandanas, angels cloaked in pungent mist, eating sandwiches and sipping hot coffee, ponytails and errant wisps of hair framing delicate features. College kids, like me from the West Coast, up here for the summer, lured by the promise of big money, working impossibly long hours with very little sleep, doing the jobs that Americans won't do. We fish in Alaska, in old Bristol Bay, where we gill net red salmon by night and by day. Oh, we love to go fishing like life on the sea, but back there on shore we just can't wait to see. Canary girls, those canary girls, we have given our hearts to those canary girls. When we are out fishing, we get really tired, 'cause we fish all night long, and on coffee we're wired, and sometimes we hear sirens out there on the sea. It's those canary girls just calling to me. Then we get a closure and we head for the dock. We take off our slickers and go for a walk. They are working the slime line with blood in their hair, in those black rubber boots and cheap yellow rain gear. Canary girls, oh canary girls, we have given our hearts to those canary girls. Well, sometimes we go dancing at a bar called the Pit between Trident and Bumblebee in South Naknek it sits, and you know that the dancing would be much more fun if they weren't outnumbered by 20-1. Canary girls, those canary girls, we have given our hearts to those canary girls. Well, the season is over, then it's back home we go. Before long, it's midwinter and covered with snow. Then it gets really quiet, and you know I do find that those canary girls are still haunting my mind. Canary girls, those canary girls, we have given our hearts to those canary girls. Thank you. Yeah, well, it sure is nice. So Matt ordered the weather for us, so we're really glad, and here's Steve.
What he said about those canary girls. You know, I remember, there's something about women in rain gear and the extra tufts. But nowadays, the extra tufts have got hip. I mean, really, you know, and I go around Cordova in the summertime, I see beautiful women in nice summer dresses with extra tufts on, rolled up. Anyway. Salmon. Salmon, 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 salmon. One more poem. This one's called Blue. We knew streaks through like glaciers melt blue. Daylight enhances, retreats, then advances as a new morning grew. A gull squawking tongue, the rise of the sun as the air in my lungs reddens blue. Renewing my blood as the new flower's bud on the mountain above dries the dew, turning blue, out to the open, to the swallow's back sloping, diving on cue, iridescent, splash, flew, into the spectrum that grew into the mist prism too, so rainbow to the ocean, rolling in motion, like the backs of a few schooling on through, iridescence on blue, being as one red salmon run, holding renew, holding in true on sensory signs as lateral lines border blue, scales flash in the sun's beaming hues, lights aqua blues, player streaming like hair, falling clear through as the thunderheads view billows high, so fused in the sky, always in flux, wild as the ducks winging by, where the runoffs can lie and renew, reaching low for the high cause it's due, reaching sea for the sky to review its reflection in blue. Seems to split into two on those lines so defined by the logical minds, it's all one of a kind's residue. Sometimes brine, like the water in you. Yeah, the color is the clue, and it's blue, clear into new. Thanks for listening to us, you guys. Stopping a minute and thinking about salmon. And please, peruse the table and give some help if you can. You know, we need you. Thanks. Would you like to say anything? This is Matt, by the way.
Yeah, hi everyone. All of you out there. Thanks for showing up today. I would consider this a huge success. This is awesome. I loved all of those poems and songs. The reason we're out here today, Cooking the Keeper came out to support the Salmon Poets. Unfortunately, as they mentioned, Meezy couldn't be here, but there's a lot going on with salmon in Alaska right now in the political sphere, and it takes Alaskans' voices to all rise up together to be heard, both locally in the state government and in Washington with the EPA withdrawing their protection of Bristol Bay. So like Clark said earlier, even if you don't mind mines and development and things, there's a way to do it responsibly that won't ruin our heritage here with the salmon and our strongest renewable resource. And there's ways to do it wrong. And so we want to promote responsible resource extraction. And that's what some of the stuff on the table here is about. So if you're interested in finding out more stuff, check out cookinginletkeeper.org. And keep catching fish and keep following these guys around. And I'm sure you'll bump into like-minded people, but we really appreciate your support. Keep eating the chowder, there's a lot left. And yeah, thanks for coming out. This weather definitely took a turn for the better.